Ushers, you may take your seat. Our subject today, the God of our faith. Coming from what is typically called the faith chapter, chapter 11 of Hebrews. Then I asked myself a question, what is faith? And I went right back to the Bible, the book. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That's why sometimes you may have heard me say that if you don't have hope, you're just about lost. You got to have faith, and you got to have some hope that what you have faith in is going to come to be for real, to come to be truth in your life. And then it says it's the evidence of things not seen. Sometimes we can't see what we have faith for. But we know that we have faith for it because we are trusting in something bigger than ourselves. And because of the faith we have, it puts our belief in action. It makes you do something. If you have faith and you do nothing, you don't have faith. Because faith will get you to move towards accomplishing what you want to accomplish. And you have to trust in the one that you have your faith in. You have to rely upon him. You have to trust in him, not in yourself, knowing that everything's going to be all right. And can I just tell you that all of God's blessings come through faith. You're saved. You're justified by faith. Whatever you want God to do, you got to believe and know that no matter what comes or what goes, God will provide because you have trusted in him. And if you are a saved child, if you are a just child, you will live by the faith that you have in this God that we serve. We have two or three or four main characters in this lesson today. God and the Holy Spirit and Abraham and Sarah. Abraham is a patriarch, one that God saw fit to start the nation of Israel through. This call of Abraham represents where we are going, and you can find this in the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, and we're going to try to catch you up to where we are. This call that God gave to Abraham represents the third time that God reached down and saved man. One was when Adam, the first man upon earth, sinned. And it was God himself who went to seek Adam to save him. God promised to save Adam through the promised seed. In addition to saving them and putting them out, God provided clothing for them, for Adam and his dear wife, clothing of an animal skin. The clothing symbolized the clothing of righteousness that was to come through the sacrifice of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody, something got to give up something. You got to sacrifice something. And God saw that man needed help, and he came down to help man when our forefather Adam sinned. After God had saved Adam, man again failed to turn completely away from God, becoming totally lawless and immoral. But God again saved the human race by selecting a man named Noah and his dear family to lead them through the terrifying judgment of the great flood. God looked down and he saw one man, the man by the name of Noah. And God blessed him to preach his word, to teach his word. And he blessed him to build an ark to save him and his family. Noah did all that because he had faith and he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But again, man turned away from God and set about to build a secular society and religion, a totally humanistic world. This brings us to the present passage where we are today. For the third time, God acted for man, raising up one man through whom he would save all mankind, and for mankind to carry out his purpose for the world. That man was a man named Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham. And this is where we find ourselves today in this passage of Scripture, in the book of Hebrews, talking about Brother Abraham. Abraham and Sister Sarah. Point number one, it's found in verses 8 through 10. Point number one, God is bigger than our faith. That was the call of Abraham. God called him. And if you look at that, I read that last night in at conference, verse 12, chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. Just chapter, first part of chapter 12. It says, now God had said unto Abram. And I told them last night, I had missed that one big word in there. And that's had. That tells me that God had talked to Abraham before and had told him what he wanted him to do. But he just had not fully realized or came to the understanding about what God had called him to do. And can I tell you the same thing I told myself? Don't you look down or think harsh or look down your nose at Abraham. Because God have called you before you came. And you did not come as soon as he called you. If you came as soon as he called you, after you got there, more than likely, you did something else contrary to the will of God. God called Abraham, told him, said, get your stuff together. Get up from here and leave everybody that you know anything about. Have you ever been there? Have you felt like that the people that you were running around with or associating with, you had no business being with them? Mm-hmm. And somebody probably felt like that about you. God called him and gave him a charge, told him, said, Abraham, I'm going to do some things through you, but you got to leave from everywhere, all your people, and get out from around them so I can do something for you. I got something I want to give you, and I'm not going to give it to anybody else. I'm going to give you this land that you have. And when you read and study in the life of Abraham, God gave him some promises. He said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. Abraham standing around there looking at himself. The only somebody living in his house other than him and Sarah was his servant. He had no children. And when God called him out of the land that he was supposed to leave out of, he was already 75 years old. Hello. Too old to do anything but keep living until you die. That is without God. God told him, said, Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation out of you, or through you. Kings and queens shall come out of your bowels. And Abraham didn't understand that, but he kept walking and following God. God is bigger than your faith. No matter what's going on in your life right now, if you believe in God and trust in God and keep walking and get your eyes off of your situation and look to God, God will He's bigger than your faith. You don't have faith big enough for God. Because he can do it. He said, I'm going to make great nations out of you. And people are going to look to you. But we find it hard to believe that here I am, little old nomad out of the land of earth, worshiping false gods. And then I get a call from the real God. And I listen to him and I hear him. And God told him to leave. And he left. When he left the first time, he did not leave like God told him to leave. Yeah. Uh-huh. You can't do halfway with God. You got to go whole hog or nothing. Because if you go halfway, it's nothing. Abraham left, and he left with his daddy, and he carried Brother Lot with him. And when you take extra baggage, it weighs you down. Lot might have been a good nephew and might not have had a daddy, but he was extra weight. You see, when God says what he means, and he means what he says. If he tell you to leave me, leave me. I'll get over it. If he tells you to stay and I don't want you to stay, you stay. I'll get over it. But you do what thus saith the Lord. And when you do what thus saith the Lord, there will be a blessing on the other side. He told him, said, your name is going to be great. You're going to be somebody. And here we are now, better than 2,000 years later, we're talking about Abraham. Three of the major religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Muslim, come from this one man, from his seed, from the seed of Abraham. Don't think bad about yourself because where you are. If you trust in God, God can take something bad and make it good. If you don't believe that, the next time you go in the bathroom, look in the mirror. Look, just take a good look in the mirror and see what God can do with something that man think that may be bad. He can make something good out of it. People, if you trust in God, other people and nations will be blessed because of you. But you got to trust in it. You don't have to see the conclusion, the end of it, to know that there's a blessing on the other side. Trust in God. I think sometimes one of the mistakes we make now is we do this too much. We look back instead of looking in front of me. We need to keep our eyes on tomorrow, not yesterday. Yesterday's gone, and tomorrow's in front of you. All we have is right now. I need to praise God right now because this is all I have. If I don't praise him now, I'm not guaranteed that I'll be here another hour to praise him. So what I do, I praise him now. This is what Brother Abraham did. He worked for God while he had a chance. And we need to do the same thing. God's blessing will go beyond your faith. It went beyond Abraham's faith. Abraham didn't know he was going to be a hero. He didn't know we were going to be reading about him in the book of Hebrews. He didn't know there was going to be a Bible at all. But he trusted in God. He trusted in this God that had called him, and his children are still trusting in him today. If you think that's not true, then you don't trust him, because you are spiritually the seeds of Abraham if you believe in this God, because Abraham trusted God and believed in God. And we have that yet today. He had no idea that he would receive the honor that he's receiving. Had nothing to know about, didn't know about it. You don't know how they're going to honor you 15 years from now. Or maybe even tomorrow. You don't know. But if you're trusting in God and living the way God would have you to live and doing what thus saith the Lord, the honor that you are supposed to receive, God will see that you get. You don't have to be there. Abraham's not here. He's the guest of honor here today in the message that have walked this earth. So therefore, you don't have to know everything. His name is in the Bible, and God gives him more ink in the book of Genesis than anybody else. I don't think Joseph has more ink than he does. Abraham got from chapter 12 in the book of Genesis to chapter 24 in the book of Genesis. And we talk about him a lot in the New Testament. Because talked about Jesus said before Abraham was, before I was there. So you see, he didn't say anything about Abraham didn't know that Jesus was going to be talking about him, but he trusted in God. Brothers and sisters, you got to have faith. You got to hope. You got to know that God will provide just what you need, and you have to believe that. Faith is more than talking. Faith brings about an action in what you have faith in. I'm trusting in it. I'm believing this. I'm staking my life on this. They tell the joke about, said Jesus was treated so bad when he was here on earth. And you Christians are crazy to think he's coming back. After he got out one time, say he's not coming back. I'm crazy. I be crazy because I believe he's coming back. Because he said, the angel told him, say, as you see him leaving, so shall he return. And I believe it. He said it way back in Genesis. He said the seed of a woman. And Jesus is the seed of a woman. He said it then. He proved it then. He'll prove it again. I might not physically be on this earth when he come back, but he's coming. And if you still walking around here and I'm down at Spring Hill or Milligan, wherever my wife and them decide to put me, I'm going to beat you there. Because it said those that die in him will rise first to meet him. Hey, and I'm living to do that. Because you got to have faith in him. You got to believe and you got to know that God is bigger than your faith. God will bless your faith beyond your expectations. God have blessed the faith that we have way past where we think it ought to be. You don't know all the stuff that God have kept from coming your way because of the faith that you have in him. Might not look like you have much faith, but keep trusting, and you might not can see your faith, but keep trusting and believing in God. Nobody else might not know how much you trust and you have faith in God, but you just stay right there. Stay on your knees and keep trusting in God. Whatsoever thing ye desire when you pray, pray believing and expecting God to do it. And God will provide just what you need. Don't just pray all the time. But I'm not saying don't pray. I don't mean it like that. But pray, but believe. And after you believe, be expecting God to do what you ask him for. Don't pray and don't believe and don't expect God not to do it. I expect God to do just whatever he has, whatever I ask him to do, if it's within his will. I don't know it. I keep saying this, and somebody have already mentioned it this morning. I look around. These seats are empty, but I just believe that God would not have us to build it if he would not fill it up. If you're looking for instant gratification for what you're doing, you need to just drink coffee and put all your water in a microwave and boil it real quick, because that's the only way things going to happen in a hurry. God does not work on your time. He works on his time. And sometimes we don't have faith enough to stay with God. We just want instant stuff. You got to stay right there. You got to keep hitting the nail on the head, whether it look like it's going any place at all or not. But you got to trust in God. You got to have faith in this God that we serve. I might not get through this like I plan to, but God, will provide just what you need. Brothers and sisters, you got to have faith. You got to walk by faith. You got to sleep by faith. You got to eat by faith. Whatever you do, you got to have faith in this God. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in this God that we serve. There are blessings beyond what you can ask. He has great blessings farther than what you can ask. Don't just ask God to do what you can see. If you can see it and you can do it, you don't need God. You need to ask God for the great things. He'll bless you way beyond measure. I think that's somewhere in Ephesians. He'll bless you abundantly, but you got to have faith in him. You got to trust in him. Lord, have mercy. I love you, Lord. I trust you and I believe in you. My faith is in you. My faith is not in myself. Point number two comes from verse number 11. It says, my point is, God is better than faith. Listen, talking about Sister Sarah, who's well past age of giving birth. In Genesis, it says that she was in the room, in another room, when the angel was talking to her husband and said something about her having a child. And she chuckled and laughed, knowing how old she was, well past age of childbearing. But then there's this God that we serve. God is better than our faith. She had very little faith because she knew that her and Brother Abraham had been married all these years, and in their youth there had been no child. But how can it happen now? With man, it cannot happen. Thank you, Lord. I keep telling myself this when I get weary. I think about this passage that when I think about, we don't never seem like we're doing any good. Just stay right where you are and continue to preach this word and continue to teach this word. In a book called Apples of Gold, it says a diamond is a coal that stuck to the job. It didn't quit. It because it stayed in the middle of the earth. Looked like nothing was happening, but it stayed right there. See, when you're working with God, faith sometime seems like it may take a long time with man, but time is in God's hand, and time will never run out. You keep preaching this word, keep teaching this word, keep demonstrating this word in your life, and someday, somewhere, when you least expect it, God will provide just what you need. Sarah, I know she laughed, and then she kept on laughing, and she lied. She lied. When they asked her, why did you laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. Yes, you did. You just don't want to tell it. Have you ever lied? Don't lie now and say you never lied, because you have. See, and God can use you. He can use you. But lying and whole backbiting and whole munging, all those things have to come out of you. If you have faith and trust in God, God can use you. No matter what you've done, he can use you. No matter what you've done, if you put your trust and your faith in him, he can use the liar, the backbiter, the homemonger, the drug dealer, the hypocrite, the backbiter. He can use them all, but you got to surrender it all to him. Sarah knew she was past age, knew she could not be able to have a child, but she had just enough faith to make it through. Don't need a whole lot of faith. In Matthew's, Jesus told the boys, if you got faith the size of a mustard seed, there's no telling what it can do. Just trust in God, and God will provide just what you need. Sarah was laughing. That's in Genesis chapter 18. She lied. That's in 18. But then, just a little bit of faith that she had. This is how bad it make himself understand that she laughed. When she heard him say it, she said, and didn't laugh no more. Don't take a whole lot. Just a little bit. You know why she didn't get a laugh from way down here in her belly? She remembered something, I believe, that God had already done for him. And she said, if he did that, then just maybe 1%. He could do it. But she didn't laugh. But the small amount of faith that she had, God used that. See now don't you think bad of Sister Sarah because she didn't have a whole house full of faith. Mm-hmm.
No, you didn't either. You didn't either. Because that's the way we are made. Our faith needs to grow. Her faith grew in God, and yours can grow in God when you truly trust in Him. When you talk to God, God will honor the little faith that you do have. You heard me talk about Jesus said if they had the faith the size of a mustard seed, they could speak to that mountain and it'd be moved. You got to believe in what you're saying. You remember the disciples out in the ship when the storm came? They didn't have a whole lot of faith. They had enough faith to go down in the bottom of the boat and wake Jesus up. That's all they had. But that was enough. See, when God get in what little you have, hey, a little with God is a much with man. Because He owns the whole world and everything therein. So just a little faith. Somewhere in there says, Lord, increase our faith. Yeah. You don't have all that faith. You don't have it all. He gives you enough faith to get through where you are. And the next time when you need some more, He'll give you that. I know some of you think you got all the faith that you'll ever need. You let something bad happen to you. Not to somebody else. To you. In my house. That's when I determine the faith that I have. But we got to know that God is bigger than our faith and He is better than our faith. If my faith is the size of my finger, God's faith is the size of this building. A larger, and it overflows. So see, and it's bigger than and it's better than what I have. Because His faith is pure. Mine is not. Point number three. God's promises builds our faith. The promises that God makes to us builds our faith. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. Abraham, get your son. Go to that mountain that, it's not like this in the Bible, but it's in there, around 22, 23, and 24, somewhere around in there. Get your son that you loveth. Take him and go to the mountain where I will show you. And sacrifice him. Take all the wood and stuff and sacrifice him. 3 days' journey to walk. And the son that you love and that God have promised you that the world would be prophet, the Savior would come through. He wants you to go and sacrifice him. I wonder what kind of journey that was. Walking 3 days with them right there beside you. Walking there because you're trusting in God. You have a faith that passes all understanding. When he got to where he was supposed to be, looked up, God said, that's it right there. That's the mountain, Abraham. Not in those words, but that's the place you're going. Down at the bottom of the mountain, Abraham took the lad and went up the mountain. And going up the mountain, he told the two young men that was with him, said, y'all stay here with the asses. Me and the boy are going to worship and we'll be back. We will be back. That's faith. That's faith. Goes up the mountain, gets to the place, builds the ark. The covenant, the place for the sacrifice. And can I just tell you that Isaac was not a little boy, a little baby. He was up in age. And he let his father tie him and put him on that altar.
I've seen a picture where they had Abraham with his knife in his hand, just like this, fixing to bring down on his son. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hands. How many of you would do that to yours? Don't raise your hand. Some of you wouldn't stop. Some of us wouldn't stop. Mm-hmm, yeah. Especially when they've been in a whole lot of trouble, causing you headaches, sleepless nights. Ain't no telling what you do. Well, you don't know what you do until you get there. But God had made some promises to Abraham. And Abraham had faith enough in God. I just believe he said, well, God told me that he was going to raise up a nation through me. And this is the only son that I have. And he's already told me that Ishmael was not the one. So if I kill this one, God can raise him up. Do you see the resurrection? If God allows me to kill him, he'll raise him from the dead because God promised me. That's faith, y'all. Knowing that if his son dies, God's going to raise him up again to be alive because God said. Brothers and sisters, you got to have faith. You got to have that Abraham faith. And all of us have it in some things that we do. But we need to get to the point where we have that faith in God, that knowing that God will keep his promises that he have made to us. God promised him that there will be nations coming out of your loins. Abraham, when he didn't have any children, God told him one night, go outside and look up in the sky. If you can, count the stars. So that's what your seeds will be like. Or go down by the seashore and count the grains of sand. I thought about something, y'all. I said, if God can do all that, I said, I walked out the back door of the fellowship hall and there's a tree right there. That tree bears more acorns, I believe, than any tree in the world. If you sweep them off today, you got to come back in the morning and sweep them off again. God only can do that. And that's, to me, that's what he was telling Abraham. You might not be able to see them now, but they're coming. And you got to have faith and trust in God that he will do just what he said he will do. You just have to believe that God's going to keep his word. Your faith needs to grow in God's word. This is why sometimes, to me, stuff happens in our lives and we don't understand it and we don't know how we're going to get out of it, but we just keep trusting in God. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how, but God will make a way somehow. And I know that's in one of them old songs, but it's true with God. He'll make a way when you don't see a way out. If you keep trusting in God, God will provide a way out, but you got to be doing what he would have you to do. You can't just be living a righteous life and say, God said, and you got his word up here, but you don't have it in your heart. God's word needs to get in your heart, and you need to do just what he said. Listen, Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt in bondage, got to the Red Sea. Pharaoh's behind him. The Red Sea is in front of him. You got to have faith. Moses, what you got in your hand? A rod. Stretch it out. Stretch it out. He stretched the rod out and the water parted. And better than 6.5 million people walked across on dry land. Some theologians and study of people that study the earth have said that when you find that spot, It would be a trench down highway through the Red Sea where all of those people walked across on dry land. But Moses didn't know where he was going and knew what was behind him he didn't want, and what was in front of him would have drowned him if he would have got out there in it. But he had enough faith and trust in God to know that God wouldn't lead him to a place where he would be destroyed. Stretch it out. And then after they got in there and they got across and Moses died, there was a man by the name of Joshua.
And they got to the Jordan River, and they couldn't get across. He told them, said, get the priests and have them to walk down with the Ark of the Covenant. Joshua had enough faith in God to do just what he said. The mistake that a lot of us make, we don't have faith enough in this God that we're supposed to be serving to trust him to do what he said he would do. But now Joshua was living the way God would have him to live. And when they got down there and their foot touched the water parted. It said it was so, I forgot what it said, it was so many fathoms that it went back. But it come out to be about 1/8 of a mile. The river just backed up. You got to know and trust in God. Don't go to sleep. Don't go to sleep. Don't go to sleep. Now listen, watch this. This water is going to go down in this cup. But that water, you see that coming down there? Now what happened there? That water stood up. It stood up. The way that water was flowing down there, that water stood up. And they walked between it. Now, I know you're smart. I know you're real intelligent. You got an IQ past the scale. But make that water stand up. Make it stand up on its side. But see, but you got to have faith in this God to know that he can make a way out of that. And on top of that, God told Joshua after they got across there to walk around the wall of Jericho. Now that sounds real strange. Walk around the wall. Don't say anything. Uh-oh. That get all y'all that want to talk in church. Don't talk. Don't say anything. Just walk. Walk around there every day. Every day. Every day. And then the last day, you walk around and you shout. That's faith, y'all. We have got to have faith in our God, knowing that he can provide and perform all the promises that he makes to us. But we got to have faith in him and not in ourselves. And don't try to test this God, because you don't know how he's going to use you. You don't know. But if you trust in him and you have faith in him and not in yourself and in all your ability or your knowledge, then you will be successful in doing what God wants you to do, not what you want to do. We need to increase our faith, and we need to trust in this God that we serve, knowing that he is better than our faith, he is bigger than our faith, and the promises of God will build your faith. It will build your faith. You won't necessarily build your own faith, but God will build your faith by the things that you go through. Whatever you're in now, God can build your faith because of what you're going through. If you can get out of it by yourself without the aid of God, that's good. Do it. But there are some things we get in, you can't get out unless God gets you out of it. And we need to give him the credit and the glory. And in my conclusion, whenever what the circumstances in your life seems to be impossible, trust God. When it seems impossible, trust God. God will come through for you if you're trusting in him. And I'll just try to reiterate the points again. God is bigger than your faith. He is better than your faith. And God will keep the promises that he's made to you.
we need to allow to trust this God of our faith. And when we truly surrender our lives to him, everything will be all right. Might not seem like it, but it will. With that, we'll extend an invitation. Will you come to Christ and allow him to save your soul? God have already made a way for you to be saved. But you got to have faith enough to trust in him, knowing that he will provide just what you need. You might not see it now. If you have just a little bit of faith in God, he will provide just what you need. But you have to have faith in him. And when you trust in him, he will provide just what you need. Faith, brothers and sisters, is believing the impossible, that God can do the impossible. Will you come? No matter what your sins are, if you trust in Christ, you need to have faith enough to believe and know that he can and will forgive you of your sin. Will you come? Will you come? Will you come to Christ today? Will you come? Will you come? God bless you.